Hello and welcome to the Cafe Hustle podcast and to this, which is the second part of my chat with Anthony Grice of Fika in Liverpool. Now, don't forget to check out the first part of the episode, which I'll link to in the show notes, but that's gone out on Monday. So make sure you check that out because we talk about how his shops are providing for the community, some of the challenges of implementing this concept of Fika into the UK and why the community is so important to him and the business. But in this episode, we are talking about suspended coffee and how Anthony has implemented that and is helping the people who need, you know, or don't have the means necessarily to buy a coffee usually, and how the difference it's making to their lives. We're also going to look at the importance of indie businesses to the local culture and how that impacts on the areas where we serve. But the big part of this episode, which I really want you to take note of, is as we talk about mental health, the passion that Anthony has for mental health, and he actually goes into his story and his experience and what he may have done differently to avoid that. So that's a really, really important part of this episode. So anyway, so we're going to jump into this episode after we get back from thanking our sponsor. Cafe Hustle is brought to you in partnership with Road Declared, the people management platform for shift-based teams. Start your 30-day free trial at thecafehustle.com/Road Declared now to see how much easier planning rotas, recording attendance, managing annual leave really can be. Suspended coffees, and I know you run a suspended coffee scheme.
Yeah.
How have you found that? How have you managed to work that? Have you got a lot of people that are supporting it, a lot of customers?
Yeah, the suspended coffee scheme, we introduced this probably 2 years ago now, it must have been, suspended coffee. So a suspended coffee is a coffee that's purchased by anyone who comes into the shop. And they basically buy another coffee. And what we do is they usually write a little message on a post-it note. So they'll say, can I have one for the board as well as my coffee? And we give them a post-it note. And they'll write a little positive message on, you know, and basically we put the post-it note on a cork board. And then anyone who's passing by, we've got a big sign in the front of the shop saying, free coffee if you are having a bad day, if you are struggling, if you're short of cash. No questions asked. Walk inside, take a post-it note off the wall, give it to the till, tell us what you want, and you get a free coffee. And that's a win-win situation for everybody. So the suspended coffee scheme is supporting the people who are struggling. Could be financially. It could be someone who's having a bad day who needs a little cheer up. Like there's a little coffee, there's a little positive message that they're going to get.
Yeah.
It's also supporting a small independent business. It's also the random stranger who's bought the coffee. It's their way of giving something back. It's their way of like supporting somebody.
Yeah.
And so it's a win-win situation for everybody. We started off 2 years. We do get a lot of people using the scheme. There's probably about 1,000 coffees on the board. We've done well more than that, you know, over time. People buy them every single day. But there's probably a 1,000 coffees in suspense there. It works really, really well. One, to support an independent business, but also as well as well, I've just mentioned, it supports everyone else as well.
Yeah. And do you have to manage, like, I know it's very difficult with just like a suspended coffee scheme. You're not meant to ask any questions, but is there anyone that you know of that has ever abused it? Have you had to put anything in place to try and I'm just thinking here from if anyone else is thinking about doing suspended coffee, you know, almost how they would manage this sort of situation. Have you had to do anything like that, or has it been fairly good?
I think, we do get people coming in, faces. We don't say nothing because I feel like it's on their own conscience. If they abused a system that's free, it's on their own conscience. You know, at the end of the day, the coffees have been bought. You know,
absolutely,
they've been purchased for someone. I don't want to police it. You can't have this. And it's like, well, someone's bought it. And, you know, I can't police it. And I wouldn't know their situation if
absolutely. That's just going to say that. Yeah,
10 pence in the pocket. I don't know. Yeah. I'm not going to ask that as well. We don't engage in conversations. And now we just, you know, we'd say, how's everything going? Is your day fine? What have you been up to? And we'll ask questions and that. You know, it's we don't get personal straight away thinking,
no, no.
They're going to suspend the coffee. Oh, do you, you know, and we don't do that because it's that's you're kind of jumping over 10 hurdles and going straight to like what you assume the problem is and with someone, and it's that's not the case. So, no, we don't have a system in place. We ask people not to abuse it. And you know, as I said, we feel people just come in and take them. We don't question them at all because there's plenty there to go around as well.
Yeah, and you've got to think as well. Like you say, you'd never know what is going on in someone's life, and whether it's even mental health, like or something that you can't see. That you know, the last thing you want to be doing is questioning someone when they come in, using that there is there for them. In need, really, and it's really something that is. I think I wish more coffee shops were doing it because there is around our businesses a lot of people that could take the benefit from a suspended coffee scheme and be in a position where they can enjoy a great cup of coffee at a time when they really need it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, as I would say, you know, always be nice to people because you never know when you stood next to someone and they're trying their best to hold it together. Yeah. You know, you don't realize people might have been in the house for 2 months and you know they finally come out the house and it's a big deal for them. You just never know what people's situation and mind frame someone's in. So it's we never question it, but little things like that does help people. I know it's only a small thing, but it means a lot for some people.
But it's massive for some people. Now, in terms of obviously all this community work that you do, and there's no doubt it's coming from the right place, it's not coming from a point of view of trying to promote the business or anything like that, but aside from the pandemic and like you said, you know, people were coming and supporting you afterwards or through it because you obviously support the community, but beyond the pandemic, is there any benefit to the business? Do you see the people still supporting it now as we move or on our way out of the pandemic as such?
Yeah, I think, you know, the amount of people that come into the shop, I think since the pandemic, they've actually said, I would never go to a franchise again. No, I'd only ever go to an independent. Because they know that independent shops, coffee shops, are the lifeblood of every community, the lifeblood of the cities, you know, gives cities their own character, gives, you know, people. I love going to cities. I went to York not long ago. York's unbelievable. I couldn't believe I've never been there. And it's full of these little independent shops, loads of coffee shops. I was just in heaven. You know, it was fantastic. But that gives it so much character instead of going down the same high street and seeing, you know, it's like a bloody, it's like a buffet. You know, it's the same things on a buffet and a party. That's what it's like when you're going down a high street. You know, there's your same shop on every single high street. But when you got in the independent shops, they're all quirky and different.
Absolutely.
And it gives them a lot of character. Plus, the people who own these are actually from the city. So it benefits the city in itself. Yeah. I live in the city. I live in the same area as what my coffee shop is in. So, again, it's my, you know, this is my community as well. But also, you know, whereas the difference to another coffee shop is the person who owns that, more so a franchise, has probably never even been to the UK, never mind the city. You know, they live on a yacht in Monaco or somewhere. You know, so it's... That's the difference. An independent business is the lifeblood of a city. You know, you're not supporting Absolutely. You're supporting someone's dream. You're supporting, you know, my little girl's dance lessons that she has. You know, you're supporting a lot of things. So that's why it's so important to go to independent businesses. And I think more so since the pandemic, you know, we've benefited from that because people have identified, especially from what I've done. And not so much me, other independent businesses out there in different, you know, in the case of the trades, what they did through the pandemic is not just me. There's other businesses as well who've done stuff. People have realised that when, you know, none of these big franchises done nothing apart from take furlough and take grants to pay for the buildings. And that's the difference. So it's so important. We've benefited so well out of it. And, you know, that's, I think, because what it says on the, it's on the back of the part of what we do for the community.
I know I spoke to, do you know Liam Jones of An Hour of an Indie? I did an episode with him not long ago and we were talking about exactly this, about the the importance of independent businesses and that character that they add to somewhere. And this is, and you look, like you say, York, you remember that character that has an impact on you, that culture. And to be honest, and knowing like the time I've spent in Liverpool, you do still get that vibe, but you're right, there's less in the way of, you know, it's not chock-a-block of independent businesses, but they will always add so much more to an area and make more of an impact. And people want to go back because of that individual. You can't get it anywhere else, can you?
Yeah, absolutely. As I said, you go into any other city and it's just full of the same, you know, the same high streets, same shops. They all look identical. But when you visit somewhere that's full of independent businesses, it does give it so much character and so much life. And as I said, going back to when I went to York, that's what I felt. It was just... It felt like it was 90% independence and 10% franchises. I would just love our council to do that to the city centre, and just make it all independence. And you know, unfortunately, there's probably 5% of the shops in the city centre are actually independent now, because the rates in the city centre are just astronomical and the properties are astronomical. You know, my size shop, if I open that on Bold Street, and Bold Street is, they say it's like, it is a cool street, Bold Street, don't get me wrong, but it's owned by, you know, franchise groups, nearly every building. Every shop that you think's an independent, it's not, it's actually owned by a group of multimillionaires, because my size shop on Bold Street would cost 7, 8, 9 times more than what I'm paying for it, you know, where I am. So that's the difference, and that's the unfortunate reality of where we are. Now it's, they'll never be able to change that, because there's so much money, you know, held in these properties, and people have invested a lot. You know, that'll never change. But I would love that to happen in my lifetime. You know, for the whole city to, you know, to go independent.
Big boom of independence.
Great for the economy. It'd just be unbelievable for the city. The city would explode to another level. But yeah, we can all dream, Carl.
With competition for hospitality staff fiercer than ever, it's never been more important to offer your staff a 5-star employee experience. One way that hospitality businesses all over the UK are doing that is by using Rotocloud. Rotocloud is the web-based platform for planning rotas, recording attendance, managing staff holidays, and more. It also makes life easy for your staff by giving them 24/7 access to their rotas, timesheets, and as well as letting them do things like request annual leave, arrange their own cover for any shifts they can't work, all via the free Rotocloud mobile app. Head to thecafehustle.com/Rotocloud now to claim your free 30-day trial and give your team the kind of employee experience they deserve. Now, I want to touch on mental health, because I know it's one of your big passions, isn't it? And you run a walk and talk.
That's
as
right,
well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just so tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, the mental health thing, obviously the whole FICA, the whole shop, that's a big part of it, the mental health, meeting new people. You know, I always say, if you're struggling, you've got no one to talk to, you come into the shop, one of the staff will sit down and talk with you. Yeah. We always make an effort to talk to anyone. And if, you know, I sometimes walk out the shop, or most of the time, I'll walk out my kitchen. If I've got no food, or I do the food in the kitchen, and I'll come out the kitchen and I'll connect to customers, or I'll speak to a customer, say, oh, and I'll try and be best to join them together. And they might be sat by themselves. And again, the FICA friend thing, you know, start to get people to interact, or I'll join them into the conversations, and that's that. But the mental health, so I said mental health's a big thing with the shop. I actually, I'm not afraid to talk about this. I actually had a breakdown in March. So I was in work this one day, and this is, you know, I was opening my second shop on the waterfront, and I was having chest pains. I was in a really bad way. And I texted my wife and I said, I feel really awful today. So I've got pains in my chest. She went, oh, we'll just, you know, be careful, drink water, blah, blah, blah. So I thought, you know, I've probably pulled a muscle in my chest anyway. So I went, I got home, I had the tea, and I said to her, I'm going to go sit down on the couch, I don't feel too good. Sat down, relaxed, okay, went away. The next thing, started picking up these pains again. She said, you need to go to the walking centre. And I was like, oh, God, no, I don't want to go to the walking centre. So anyway, I thought, okay, right, I'm going to have to go, because the pains were getting worse. goes the walk-in. The walk-in does some tests on me and said, like, you need to go to the Royal. Nothing we can do for you here at the Royal Hospital. So I was like, oh God, why have I got to go to the Royal Hospital now? So I'm thinking, I've got to go to the Royal, I'm going to be here all night, and I'm back up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I've got to be, you know, got to go to the markets in the morning. So that was, you know, this is like 8 o'clock at night, and you just know what to go to the hospital there all night.
Yeah.
So anyway, we ended up getting into, I was into the Royal. They sent an ambulance to pick me up, which was strange. But they was just, they said, we'll send an ambulance for you. Give it that cool about it. Get to the Royal, takes me straight in, goes into the, into, I bypassed everyone. I was straight into a room. I had the drips in my arms. I was at the ECG monitors on me. Next thing, they're putting morphine in me to take the pain away. In the back of my mind, am I having a heart attack here? Am I having a slow heart attack? I was in agony. Then I ended up, the morphine knocked me out, and I ended up coming round, and I was on a ward. I was like, what the hell am I doing on a ward? So the nurse come round, the nurse said to me, right, okay, when you arrived at the walking centre, your blood sugar, your blood pressure was so high you could have dropped dead on the spot. He said, that's what's happened is you were so high you could have dropped dead on the spot. We got to get you there ASAP. And now I think about it, that's why the nurses were so calm and cool, because if they would have said, right, you need to get to the hospital, your blood pressure's through the roof, then I would have gone up even more than panicking.
Yeah.
So I was like, cool, thinking, oh, I'm getting a free taxi. So, you know, that's what I was thinking. So anyway, then we started speaking, and they said, basically, you've had a breakdown. He said, this is what happens is when you've got so much stress, so much pressure, your body gives out something, and that's what's happened. He said, some people's hair can fall out, some people can come out of rash. You've broke. He said, you're broke, and that's what's happened to you. So, I accepted that. You know, I work hard. I do take a lot of things in, and I accepted that. But then it was what come after it. It was, how has this happened to me? Why has this happened to me?
Yeah.
I see myself as an ambassador for mental health through what I do, and obviously on my positive boards that I write each day. And then I'm thinking, but why is no one here for me? Why isn't no one coming to see me? Why isn't none of my family and friends coming for me? Why isn't all these people who I've helped, you know, the 3,000 people I helped through the pandemic, why isn't no one coming to see me? So it was psychologically, I was really getting myself down to the point where I said to my wife, I'm not happy. I don't want to be happy.
Yeah.
But then you're going into work the next day. It's like everything I write on these boards was happening to me. And, going in the next day, and I'm smiling, I'm, hey, how's it going? How are you? Great. But inside, I'm broken. I am literally broken in two. And I'm, I'm thinking to myself, don't camp out. I was saying to myself, don't camp out in Livy. There's one of the boards that I've done. And I was like, so people have a bad day from time to time. That's fine. Just don't camp out and live there. And that's what I was kept to myself. Don't camp out in Livy. Don't camp out in Livy. You'll be okay. You're going to be okay. And it probably took about 3 weeks, I'd say. And my wife spoke to a psychologist who she works with. It's a work colleague, and my wife, she spoke and explained things, what to do with me. And basically, my wife came and said, right, you need to talk. You need to go and address all your demons. You need to go and speak to people. So I went around and spoke to people, told people what I need to get off my chest. No matter what it was, I had to get family, friends, get everything off my chest. I felt like a new person. Once I'd opened up, and that was that. And that was my story, and I felt great. Then I thought, you know what? This is a bigger problem, this. How many men have not done what I've done?
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's why I'm so open talking about it now.
Yeah.
Men out there who struggle and who master emotions, who've been taught wrong. They've been told to, just man up. Man up, will you? Well, men have feelings. You know,
absolutely.
I see this.
Yeah.
Women meet up in my coffee shop for a coffee, and they sit down there and you overhear conversations that, I might not have enough money to buy the kids' uniform at the end of the month, and I'm struggling to get the kids' birthday presents. I don't know what I'm going to do for the money. They're getting it off the chest in a conversation with their friends. That's what women do. Men don't. Men will meet up for a coffee. The next thing it'll be, did you see that Cristiano Ronaldo last night? He died for that penalty. Or did you see Anthony Joshua? And they'll talk about something else. So not about themselves. They'll talk about something that's happened. You know, sports, essentially be sport or whatever it may be. That's the case. Men don't talk about their emotions.
Yeah.
And you know, people, men need to speak up. So I said, right, I want to do something about this. Again, use the power of social media, use my shop as the hub. And I said, right, okay, men who are out there struggling, you know, they may not have anyone to talk to. Let's just come. We'll have a walk and talk. We'll just meet up. I'll give you a free coffee, free tea. And we'll, you know, we'll just have a little chat. And, you know, the first week I was sweating. I'm thinking no one's going to come. But if one person turns up, I'll be just over the moon. If that one person turns up, I think the first week we got 12 people come. I was over the moon. And I just, again, I've just what I've just explained then about my story, this is why I'm doing it. And I got everyone just to introduce themselves. I said, you're more than welcome to open up and tell them what you want to talk about. So just introduce yourselves. There's no pressure here. No one's, it's not psychological. It's not nothing like that. Not counselling. Just talking. And everyone just went around and introduced themselves. Some said a little bit, some didn't. And I was like, okay, let's just grab a coffee and we'll go out for a walk. So we walked along like the waterfront of Liverpool. And it's usually about an hour and 45 walk. Probably about 5 miles, I'd say, until there and back to the shop. And you're just walking with a random stranger and you're just talking about things and people, you know, problems. And you know what? The first time I'd done it, I felt even better than what I was. And I got so much out of it. The second week, you're seeing people coming back and they seemed like different people. And then the third week they were coming back, and from what I remember on the first week, how much confident they were in themselves, and it was so good. But since then we've linked up with a men's mental health group, Anti-Man's Club. So I have them involved now. So we can get we get on average of about 20-22 people turn up every Wednesday, and we just go for a walk and just talk about anything you want to talk about, really, and anything you want to get off your chest, and you know, why you're struggling. You know, people open up and saying why they're struggling, and you know what problems they've got on, and it's good because you tell people things, a random stranger, what you would not necessarily tell anyone else. I got some things out of me that I've never told any of my friends, and you know, it was good to release that to this stranger. No one's going to judge you as well, no matter what you've said. They can't judge you because they don't know you. And that's
the important part of it, isn't it? Yeah. And it's obviously, even like you say, it makes a massive difference for you. And you don't know, I don't know if you do know whether it's making a difference to the other people, but obviously they're coming back again and again, and they are getting a benefit from those walk and talks. It's just going back to your story, was there anything before it that you would have done differently, or any signs that you'd seen earlier to maybe have taken action before then?
Absolutely. Speak out. Talk.
Yeah.
Just speak. Just say what you need to say. That's what I've learned now. I've learned it. If I've got something to say to someone or anyone, I just say it, and I just keep, instead of thinking what you're going to say, just speak it out. Because that's what I did. I held everything inside me. And I'd think it, and I'd feel it. When I wanted to say something, I wouldn't say something, but I'd hold it inside me. And then the next time I see that person, I could not say it, because it's like the time's gone, but I'd be thinking about it. And then the next time you'd see them, your mind would start painting different pictures of what you really wanted to say. And this might go on for a long time. This is the stuff that I got off my chest. This stuff that I got off my chest had built up for like 2 years, 3 years. And it built into a bigger, crazy situation in my head that my head was going to fall off with. That was nothing in the first place. It was only a small thing, a small problem, but in my mind, it just got bigger and bigger and bigger. And that, so I feel, just get it out there straight away. Just talk. There's people there who, you know, there's people to talk to out there, and men should do that more so. As I said, we get women asking we're thinking of doing a women's mental health one now. We've had a lot of women contact us. One of my friends is a women's, she actually got bipolar. She's done a lot for bipolar and mental health. And I've asked her would she share it for me, you know, if I was chair, she'd be like, you know, what I do for the men, just be there, and, you know, would she be the person who can, like,
the contact,
the contact there. So we're going to be introducing that pretty soon as well, a women's one. And because obviously there is women out there who struggle, women who may not have friends and family, but said, man, with me, I'm just doing the men's one.
Yeah.
Because I feel that's a major problem with men out there.
Yeah. I think it is. The message is that we need to just talk about the issues that we are experiencing. And I think the difficulty comes is when you sort of get that doubt in your mind, is this worth addressing? But you're right when you say, like, in the moment, that's the time to say something. Even if you don't say it quite, there's no point sitting there and trying to work it out. And you think, oh, I'm going to say it wrong or anything like that. Say it then, because you're right. It then starts burning a hole if you leave it.
Yeah.
And the next time, just exactly how you said it, it's never, never good to keep hold of it, because then that's only one example. And then you have maybe three or four other things where you're in the same boat. Suddenly you've got these five, six things that are burning away at you.
Absolutely.
These are the things that start causing a problem. I think it's an absolutely fantastic thing that you're doing. And the fact you're not just a coffee shop, you're trying to help people better themselves and become either happier in their lives or better people. And I really, really commend you for it, because these are the things that, and like we were talking about big business before, they don't really focus on the people, individuals as much, but as independents, we can make that difference. And
absolutely,
and it's ace.
Yeah. Back to what you said before, you know, I've had a lot of, you get the sly messages on social media about when I've done things for the community or I've fed children. Like the whole of the summer holidays, we've just done it kiddie free, completely free. Between, free breakfast it was. I was free breakfast between 10 and 12. Come in. It was an open menu. You could have whatever they wanted. I didn't care. I said, when they were coming in, because one of the staff were like, what can they have? I said, just have what they want. I'm not bothered. Just whatever they want. They're not going to go and have poached eggs and salmon, a 6-year-old kid, but, they can have cheese on toast, jam on toast, a bacon butty, anything they wanted. Yeah. I didn't care. And people were, it was just a PR stunt. And I'd be like, or even anything that I've done in the past, it's like, why? What are you doing? What are you doing? Are you doing anything? Are you making a difference? Are you changing, trying to change someone's life or help someone who is struggling financially? No, you're not. So that's the difference. I'm just using the power of the shop to everyone's benefit. Everyone's benefit out of it.
Able to reach more people based on the fact you've got the shop. If it was just you without the shop, you wouldn't be able to make half the impact you're making now.
Absolutely.
And that's the positives on it. So how can people find out more about Fika and you and what you do for your community? Where can we go?
Social medias, we're on Instagram and we're on Facebook. So if you just search Fika Liverpool on Facebook and Fika Coffee Liverpool on Instagram, and you will find us in there, or hashtag Fika Liverpool. And you'll go to our page and see a million positive boards and messages and the best cakes you'll ever see.
Listen, Anthony, thank you so much for coming on the Cafe Hustle. Thank you for sharing your story, and because it'll resonate with someone out there and maybe inspire them to start talking more about what they do. So listen, thank you so much for coming on the Cafe Hustle.
Appreciate. Thank you very much for inviting me on, Andy. I really enjoyed it. Thank you very much, and hopefully see you soon. Hopefully you can visit Liverpool and come for some Fika.
If you're finding you're spending a huge amount of time during the day taken up by staff admin or dealing with the communication with your teams, you need to check out Road to Cloud, which will save you time, money, and a lot of headaches. Head over to thecafehustle.com/Road to Cloud to get your free 30-day free trial. So a really great episode or a pair of episodes as it ended up being, but we need to really think more about our community. We are providing, or if we can provide, that space where our customers feel like they're comfortable to go for a chat or want to open up to people that we may not know. Like I say, Anthony is facilitating that in his cafe or in the area around his coffee shop, certainly with the walk and talk sessions, which are doing really great things for men's mental health in the area. So a lot for us to really inspire us to what we can do and the power we've got as coffee shop owners within this episode with Anthony. So I really hope you enjoyed it. And I really hope that it's inspiring you to potentially try something differently with your teams and working with them. but certainly to engage more with your community and start building that experience for them when they visit your coffee shop. So anyway, thanks again for joining me on the Cafe Hustle, and I look forward to welcoming you on the next episode.